This reading is taken from Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 to 18, which can be found in page 970 in your pew Bible. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go to your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today your daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Let me pray for us. Last week we read Jesus' words, "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." So as we just sang, "Speak, O Lord, as we come to you, to receive the food of your holy word, take your truth, plant it deep in us, shape and fashion us in your likeness." We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you like acting? Have you been involved in amateur dramatics in your past or in the present? Are you a member of Nomads? Have you ever performed at the Corn Exchange? Just looking out at the congregation, a few of you are able to answer yes to all of those questions. I am a terrible actor, no question at all. But I do quite like performing in front of people. At various points in my life, I've had to give speeches. They are different to sermons, at least they should be. My parents' wedding anniversary, as a best man once at my wedding. And I hope it's not too bad to say that I've always thoroughly enjoyed the experience, the thrill of an audience to entertain. I think perhaps most, maybe not all vicars, have an inner show-off. Surely not joy, perhaps, but they just have to make sure it doesn't get out of hand too often. Do you like acting? The reason I mention this is because our passage this morning is about acting and performing. In fact, it's about the dangers of performing. Jesus is talking about hypocrites, specifically religious hypocrites. Three times in each of the three sections of our reading this morning, verse 2, verse 5, verse 16, he says, "Do not be like the hypocrites." And the word for hypocrites that he uses originally meant, literally, an actor. In fact, some translations read, "Do not be like the play actors, the performers." We often use the word hypocrite to mean someone who tells people to do one thing, the right thing, but does something very different themselves, the wrong thing. Say one thing, do another. And that is one way, of course, to be a hypocrite. But there is another way, and it's the way that Jesus is talking about in this passage. And that is to do the right thing, a good thing, for the wrong motives, or perhaps specifically for the wrong audience. These people, the people that Jesus is talking about in this passage, their religion is an act. They are acting for the audience. They are playing to the gallery. They are putting on a show. Look at verse 1, chapter 6, verse 1. "Be careful," says Jesus, "not to do your acts of righteousness before men," before people, "to be seen by them." This is ostentatious religion. It's an act, and Jesus is very damning about it. We need to listen carefully to what he has to say. Jesus gives three examples in these three sections of this ostentatious, hypocritical religion. He takes three standard practices of his day for all Jews: giving and prayer and fasting. They were and they are all good things. We could usefully spend time looking at each one in turn to see what Jesus teaches about giving and prayer and fasting. In fact, as Joyce said, second weekend of half term, we're looking at a whole all-age service. It's probably never been done in the history of all-age services on fasting. But rather than looking at each in turn to see the specific teaching, I want to see the bigger picture of what Jesus is really getting at in this chapter. These are good things, giving, prayer, fasting, and yet they are done here with the wrong motives and for the wrong audience. The examples that Jesus gives are almost comic, and yet Jesus is being very serious about the essence of hypocritical religion. So let's start with giving, the first of the sections. Jesus says, "When you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do." Jesus imagines a pious person marching into the synagogue to put coins in the poor box, and before they give, out come the trumpets. Are they blowing their own trumpet one-handed as they throw in the coins with the other? Or have they got someone else to blow the trumpet for them? The point is, they want everyone to notice this grand act of generosity. It would be a terrible shame, a waste of time, if it went unnoticed. Next comes prayer. Initially, this sounds better. Verse 5, the hypocrites, we read, love to pray. It's a good start, but then it goes on. They love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners. Why? Again, to be seen by men. Once again, the motive, the thrill of the audience. You know, if you stand praying on a street corner, then not just one, but two whole streets get to see and to hear your pious prayers. Maximum impact. Now, of course, we must say here that Jesus isn't condemning all public prayer. We've come together this morning to pray publicly, and just a little bit later on this service, George Chichester is going to stand and lead our intercessions. We mustn't chase him out of the door for doing so. We mustn't look at him suspiciously for saying yes when he was asked to join the prayer rota. We're very grateful to him and others who lead our prayers. But the point is, who are we doing this for? And who are we doing this before? Jesus goes on to fasting. Again, there's some humor here. Jesus imagines the deliberately somber faces of those who fast. They're hungry, and they want you to know it. They disfigure, he says, their faces. They contort their expressions. They cover them with ash to make it very clear they are not eating. It's interesting that we're looking at this passage in the week when everyone's been discussing Rishi Sunak's weekly fast. Spoke about it this week. It's been in the papers and in the media. The whole country knows about it now. And without commenting on our Prime Minister, it's amazing how publicly you can not do something. Oh, no, no chocolate for me, please. And everyone knows what you've given up for Lent. Giving, prayer, fasting, three good things. More than that, very good things. We might even say essential things. Jesus doesn't say if you give, if you pray, if you fast, but when you give, pray, fast, three good things, but done in the wrong way and for the wrong audience. And Jesus says three times in each of the sections, verse 2, 5, 16, I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. That they'll get what they want, the praise of people. If your spiritual life is an act to be seen by others, the applause and the admiration of the crowd, then that's what you'll get. And no more than that. What's the remedy for this superficial and hypocritical religious tendency in all of us? What's the better way? What's the different way that Jesus is calling his followers to? If you remember, we've said this is the great theme of the Sermon on the Mount. Do not be like them. Be different. Different to the culture out there in the world. Different here in this section to the outwardly religious in the church. Be different. But how? Two things that Jesus says. Firstly, forget about yourself. Forget about yourself. Why are we so interested in what others think of us? Even if the particular examples that Jesus gives here don't all seem so relevant to us necessarily, we don't announce our giving with trumpets or tell others about it. We don't actually love to stand and pray publicly. In fact, we feel very nervous praying out loud, even with just a few people. Even if the particular examples don't all strike home or relate to us, the general point and the challenge is clear. We are very conscious, too conscious, of what others think of us. Sometimes we live for their applause and their approval. And why? Because we are so often self-obsessed. There are, in fact, two equal and opposite ways to be self-obsessed. You can have a very high opinion of yourself, and the opinion and the praise of others serves to boost your sense of your own importance. I'm a wonderful prayer, you think, when other people say a sort of loud, Amen, yes, Lord, to your prayer in your small group or encounter. You can have a very high opinion of yourself. Or you can have a very low opinion of yourself. And your self-esteem is low, and you're constantly comparing yourself negatively to others. You go to a prayer meeting and you feel your prayers are so inadequate and everyone else is so much more spiritual than you. High opinion or low opinion of yourself, they both amount to the same thing. Both equally self-conscious, self-obsessed, thinking about me in the eyes of others. Forget about yourself, says Jesus. Verse 3, when you give, he says, do not let your left hand know what your right is doing. It's an exaggeration, of course. It doesn't mean, you know, if you do a bank transfer, you have to do it with one hand only, with the other behind your back. It doesn't mean write out a check with your eyes closed. It's an exaggeration to make a point, but he's pointing us towards a self-forgetfulness, a lack of self-consciousness that is essential if you're to stop living for the praise of others, to avoid our Christianity becoming a show and an act. Forget about yourself. Don't let your left hand know what your right is doing. Forget about yourself and therefore what others think of you. In our lives, our spiritual lives, our religious activity, all of the good things that we do, it's so easy to get our perspective all wrong. You know those photos that you can take using tricks of perspective? Your friend standing, looking like he's standing on the ground with the Eiffel Tower under his finger. You know those? It's all about perspective. It's about how close you are to the first object and person and how far away the second object is. A single penny can block out the sun if you hold it close enough to your eyes. And that's what happens to us when we loom so large in our minds, and with that the opinions of others. We loom so large in our own minds that we forget about who we're meant to be living for, who we're meant to be living before. Forget about yourself, says Jesus. Instead, focus on your Father. Focus on your Father. I don't know if you noticed, as we read this passage, how often the word Father appears in this passage. 10 times in these few verses, your Father in heaven, your Father who sees what is done in secret, our Father in heaven, your heavenly Father, your Father who is unseen. Father, focus on your Father. As Jesus teaches us on what authentic religion, authentic righteousness looks like in contrast to the hypocritical self-righteousness, the key is not what we should do or how we should go about it, but who God is in relationship with us. It's not a matter of new practices or technique, but relationship. Who is God? He is our Father, our loving Heavenly Father. And that makes all the difference to what we do. If you think God is far off, formal, well, to be honest, you may as well do your giving and your praying and your fasting so others can see and admire you, because God doesn't seem very interested in you. So you may as well show it all to others. If you think God is very reluctant to give you anything, well, you may as well, as Jesus says, babble away like the pagans. If you pester him enough, maybe finally he'll relent. But God is not far off or formal or disinterested or reluctant. He is our Father. He is the perspective that we need. And right at the center of this passage this morning is the Lord's Prayer. Jesus says, "This then is how you should pray, our Father." And then the first half of the Lord's Prayer, not just one half, the first half is about our Father, his name, his glory, his kingdom, his will. This is the perspective we need. Forget about yourself. Focus on your Father. And then 3 times Jesus says in each section the same phrase. He says, "Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." Give in secret, pray in secret, fast in secret, and each time your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Well, what's the reward? In fact, surely there shouldn't be a reward. After all that Jesus has been talking here about wrong motives, doing things with the wrong motives, surely we should be giving and praying and fasting and whatever else without thought of any reward. And yet Jesus says, when you do these things rightly, your Father will reward you. C.S. Lewis writes about this in an essay called The Weight of Glory. He says, we must not be troubled by people when they say that this promise of reward makes the Christian life a mercenary affair. There are different kinds of reward. There's the reward which has no natural connection with the things you do to earn it and is quite foreign to the desires that ought to accompany those things. Money is not the natural reward of love. Which is why, he says, we call a man a mercenary if he marries a woman for the sake of her money. But marriage is the proper reward for a real lover. And he's not mercenary for desiring it. A general who fights well in order to get a peerage is a mercenary, but a general who fights for victory is not. Victory being the proper reward of battle, as marriage is the proper reward of love. The proper rewards are not simply tacked on to the activity for what they're given, but are the activity itself in consummation. What's the reward? When we pray, or when we fast, or when we engage in anything with the right motives to help us grow in our relationship with God, what's the reward? It's the relationship with our Father that we were looking for and longing for in the first place. How does God reward us? He gives us himself, our loving Father. That's who we were seeking all along. Two people very close to me are in the process of adopting a child. It's a very long process. Some of you will know about it from your own experience. There are assessments and visits and checks and forms. It's a long, careful process, because when you adopt a child, the nature of your relationship with them changes forever. You cannot, you will not send them away for bad behavior or a difficult week. It can take a really long time for a child, especially one who's been through periods of upheaval and insecurity, to realize the new security that is now theirs. A long time to get it. And when you pray, says Jesus, our Father in heaven, through Jesus we are adopted as dearly loved sons and daughters of the Father. We are given the security of this relationship, not a relationship with a far-off God or a formal or a fickle God or any other kind of God, but our Father. We are invited to enjoy the security of that relationship rather than the awful insecurity of living for the praise of people. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, says Jesus, to be seen by them. Do you like to act? Whether you're a natural performer or not, choose your audience carefully. Choose to live in public and in private before an audience of one. Jesus calls his followers to be so conscious of God that we cease to be self-conscious, and so secure in our Heavenly Father that what others think is of no importance. Forget about yourself. Focus on your Father. Let's pray together. I'm going to lead the first half of the Lord's Prayer as we begin to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Forgive us for all self-righteousness. Free us from our self-obsession. Teach us self-forgetfulness. For yours, Father, is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.